the point I'm getting at is that, that Goldwater was seen as the militant hawk who had endangered the world by escalating Vietnam into a full-scale nuclear conflict with the Soviets. And when he accepted his nomination speech at the convention in 64, he started off with the words, "Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice, and moderation in the face of tyranny is no virtue." And he was trying to be eloquent and say, you know, that he was going to defend the country as needs be, but starting off by saying extremism is no vice, he branded himself. And it really played right into the Democratic campaign of scaring the people of what he'd be, and somewhat similar to Mondale's screw-up in 1984. Democrats always are the ones tagged by Republicans, especially since the days of New Deal and Great Society, as being the ones who spend too much money, run up deficits and run up debts. And they always want to tax and spend and tax and spend. And so in the 1984 election...
Republicans spend and don't tax, spend and don't tax.
That's right. In the 1984 election, there was talk about, with all the deficits that were going on, so whoever's the next president is going to have to consider a tax increase. And when Mondale got up to give his nomination speech, the first thing he said, thought it was cute, was, "The next president is going to have to raise taxes. I just told you he won't do it. He won't tell you," meaning Reagan. Which played right into the Republicans. I said, see, they admit it themselves. They're going to tax and spend you. They just said they would.
And if you kind of extrapolate that, he said he wouldn't tax.
That's the impression. And well, then it comes back to haunt the Republicans, though, in 88, though, because what, building on that theme, what does Father Bush campaign on? Read my lips.
No new taxes.
And then before 92, he raised taxes. And they say a lot of people in his own party deserted him for violating his pledge.
No, they deserted the junior one for stepping on the third rail.
Social Security, yeah.
Well, that's kind of
Or I should say, he grabbed hold of the third rail and hugged it.
Also, speaking of what you just said, Goldwater did.
Yeah.
Goldwater was the first to do what Bush tried to do, and that is suggest and hint that Social Security was too much of a socialist program, that if you'd let people have their own money to invest and spend as they would, they could make more money on it than through a government program of retirement. And that those two things, the threats to Social Security and the threat of using of nuclear forces, was probably the biggest thing that cost Goldwater his chance for election. He received electoral votes from Arizona and from Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida.
So he received Arizona and the racist states?
How do you interpret that? And all the rest of the states elected Johnson, a big landslide victory, and Democrats just said that they're sitting pretty and didn't worry about it. But there should have been something noticed going on there. What was it?
Some of the states returned their votes.
The South had left them. They left them over the civil rights measures. Because when they passed the civil rights measures, that caused the Southern voters to go Republican. So once Republicans could start to secure other states in the North and West back again, they'll have that South like the Democrats used to have on their side. You know? So
only had a third of Arkansas.
Goldwater?
No, the Republicans.
So far right now. But in number 18, it shows the victory margin. If you won 486 votes to 43, wouldn't it be easy to not pay attention to what you lost and the trends of the future?
But then when Reagan's elected.
Well, I can remember, this is not related at all to politics, but I can remember being in quiz bowl games where on TV we were just killing the other team 200 or 300 points, thinking, well, it's, you know, what a good victory. But I try my best to remember the fact that a lot of these people are seniors and they're leaving, and these kids that we're beating are going to be great next year, and I should be watching for them coming up. Which the Democrats did not do in future elections. But as 19 shows, there are all these additional Great Society social programs passed. So you may want to familiarize yourself with trying to remember what they are. Which one between Medicare and Medicaid deals with the indigent, and which one deals with the elderly?
Elderly is Medicare, indigent is Medicaid.
Okay.
Isn't Medicaid also more of a state-administered program?
Probably. I don't know a lot about it.
Kind of a block grant state program, and Medicare is federal.
Okay. 21 we've already done, the 25th Amendment. We can finish the civil rights story, or we can make a stab at it here, starting with 22.
What about this Immigration Act?
That's the one that reversed the 1924 law.
What was the...
24 law said that the base will be 1890, and it's 1% of 150,000 of people who were here in 1890, protecting Western European numbers over others.
So it was limiting certain groups still, or wasn't?
The Immigration Act of 1965 removes racial quotas.
So it limits national quotas?
Yeah, so there's no longer a preference given to WASP Nordic countries over Eastern Europe or Asia.
But it places national quotas?
We did this in your class, didn't we? The 1921 and 24 immigration laws?
Right, the one that limited...
Those limits not only limited the total number of people, but put greater limits on those people who in 1890 were smaller to start with. So that the larger populations of immigrants in 1890 got the larger slice of the 150,000 limit. This takes away preferential racial limits. What's of also interest going on here is that there is a steady growing Hispanic population by this time period that is not limited by this law.
Although this law still requires a large amount of money to be paid and the lottery. So it still restricts immigration to the point where illegal immigration becomes a problem.
Say that again, I'm kind of lost there.
They have the, you know, where you pay and then they have the lottery, or was it, they randomly pick people?
For immigration?
For the, what are they called, cultural enhancement?
Of those who get to come in, you mean?
Yeah. So with that limitation they still have on the total number, you get the illegal immigration problem.
If illegal immigration is not part of the lottery pick, is what you're saying?
Well, you can't have all those people come over because it's limited to, what, 200,000 a year or so?
I see what you're saying, yeah.
And those can only so many can come from a certain country? Or from any country?
From any country, yeah. Oh, here's the thing I'd mentioned before. There's the death of Medgar Evers, and there's the murder of three civil rights workers in the Philadelphia burning story, 64. I just don't know a lot about this, but it could come up.
Philadelphia,
Mississippi. It's a city in Mississippi.
What's 2005 written there for?
The movie? I should say Mississippi.
No, isn't that 2005 conviction? That's referring to the guy who was...
The old race.
That's right.
Got convicted.
Who was played by James Wood.
The comedian?
No, the actor.
The actor?
Yeah, he's Beckworth, Becknell, the guy that was really finally convicted for doing the killings.
He's not the sheriff.
Well, I'm not well familiar with civil rights after 64 either, so I'm slightly uncomfortable with what I'm presenting here. But there is the Selma March of 64, and that is a voter rights march, which is eventually just stopped and interrupted by hecklers as well as police.
What are you on right now?
That's 23, and therefore, again, it's back to that idea that when people do marches or demonstrations and receive persecution from either civilians or from police power, that it usually works to their advantage if there's national news coverage. Why?
Because it shows a bunch of bigots. And
they're the victims again. And then they're not fighting back. They're not killing people back. So if they had fought back, then the idea that these agitators are violent and need to be dealt with could be believed by outsiders. But the biggest thing they're able to do here is draw sympathy from people outside of the South who would not normally care about plight of African Americans, but when they're being beaten for protesting peacefully their legal rights, it really moves a lot of sympathy. And that's why, just as those first events led to the Civil Rights Act of 64, this helps promote the Voting Rights Act of 65. In 67, Thurgood Marshall, where have we heard of him?
He
becomes the first African American judge to be placed on the Supreme Court. In 67 by Johnson.
What is this voting act? It says see details.
Let's see the details. I should have seen the details of the Civil Rights Act, too. I can do that. This is the book that has it. You guys are such troopers.
I'm a trooper, this is fading.
But measuredly so.
Yeah.
Yeah. As time winds down, as my ability to speak winds down, you've measured it out carefully. So
I like how Andrew came like 3 hours after us and walked right in with comments.
Walked right in with what?
Comments.
I sat down and about 2 seconds later I started making comments.
I think as you were sitting down you said something. Yes, that is true.
It's a Jones lecture, you have to make comments.
I'm sorry.
You do.
That's why the youth is lectures are so boring. No one makes comments. What is that? Sit there so and
it's like the difference between a black and white church and the guy's call response.
Speak up and say such things as, what percentage of the sugar beet market did you say EC Knight owned? 96%. Thank you. That's not all they say.
They said that like zombies are $50.
One time they were talking about the white people because are racist because they think white people are racist.
That was the first class.
Oh, yeah.
That lady quit. Sorry, mom.
She quit?
Yeah. She didn't cheat.
How do you?
Not because of that event.
Me, Lewis, and Terry were in there.
If you drop it before Salon Star on the transcript, if you drop it a little bit after, you know,
W, she was like, I don't feel like I should be blamed for, you know. So
yeah, we were all sitting there like.
Hope she's not listening. This just can't go on the web with all this stuff.
It doesn't have to, unless you're a re-lecture.
Okay, it goes on the web. On July 2nd, 1964, Johnson signed into law the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the most far-reaching measure ever enacted by Congress. Listen to what this thing does. The law outlaws discrimination in hotels, restaurants, and other public
homes.
Which
one are you talking 64. About?
64. I'm talking about the item in number...
Voting Rights Act? Or
no, not yet.
Is this the one that LBJ was doing after JFK?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
What is the... I've lost my 1 through 17.
It's 22.
1 through 17.
Oh, it's 20, you're right. It's 22. I'm doing 22. And don't run away.
And then it was 13.
We got some cool stuff going on here.
It was 13.
20, 22.
Are we going to get all the way to Elijah Muhammad?
Right on. I'll get you there. I can do it. But first of all, let's look at what the Civil Rights Act of 1964 provides, and then we'll come down to the Voting Rights Act in a second. Let's
look
at
this. I might need some paper from you. Very nice people.
Okay, there is... unlined, free your soul paper up there.
Well, I think I'm really... No, that's still something left in there. I took a big chunk out of the stuff in the front.
Okay, it outlawed discrimination in hotels, restaurants, and other public accommodations. Before we go any further, let's talk about that. Do you recall this? This is from the first night of the lecture on the Western Notes, and that is, what did the 14th Amendment say about equal rights?
It prohibited equal protection of the law.
Which, he means protected.
Okay.
The protected equal.
Oh, God.
What he meant to say was it prohibited states from denying. That's
yeah.
Where he was going.
But it did not prevent the...
You know what I got an essay one time a long time ago? That the Eighth Amendment provided for cruel and unusual punishment.
Did I say that?
No, somebody else brought that one. But anyway. Yeah.
You're the one that said, what are civil rights?
Anyway, back to this.
You can't blame me.
Do you remember that the 14th Amendment says no state shall deny any citizen due process, equal protection law or due process of the law? And the arguments that arose back in that time period was, when in 1875, Congress passed a law that said no private business could discriminate. And the 1883 civil rights cases said that doesn't apply. That the 14th Amendment, ignore the birds.
I'm a ring-a-tang.
The 14th Amendment. 14th Amendment says that no state shall deny. Therefore, state means state government, and private businesses are not in that thing. So from 1883 until this law, from 1883 until 1964, the court's opinion on whether or not private businesses can discriminate is yes, they can. It is your private business. And I remember as a kid seeing before 1964 a lot of signs in restaurants saying, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. And it didn't mean like shoes and combed hair. And it meant black.
Well, I've seen those signs as recently as a couple years ago.
They ain't legal.
But they were referring to shoes and stuff.
There was something about
but they mean also them people, and they're not legal.
This guy who was a barber, and he said he put up a sign, and I doubt that it said no colored. I think it said no blacks or something.
Mm-hmm.
But
so pretty clear then.
His argument was, I don't know where it's from. His argument was,
I bet you're going where I want to go with this.
The differences in this. Way the hair is.
Oh, well,
African Americans and
that he couldn't cut it.
Caucasoids was that he couldn't cut it. And then I don't know if he just wasn't thinking when he put the sign up because he said that any time African Americans had ever come in to see about, I guess, getting a haircut or whatever, he had always recommended, and from what I read, not like angrily and racistly recommended.
But just said you probably get a better deal over here. Yeah.
But
That's a special occasion issue, though. That's a difficult one to talk about. But what I was going to say is that the main argument made through all those years from 1875, or 1883, I should say, 1883 until 1964 was, and it was an argument that protested this law at the time, and that is, if I own my own business, I own my own restaurant, I have property rights, I have the right to charge what I want, I have the right to pay what I want, if I'm stupid enough to turn away half my customers or more and lose money, that's my right from property. And what this law is saying is, no, you don't. And it may be true for, like, shoes and whether you have a coat and tie on, or whether you're bathed, et cetera, but when it comes to race, you don't have the right to refuse service to anyone. And that's that real challenge between government social welfare versus individual property rights. But the 64 Civil Rights Act clearly outlawed that activity. And there was a court case that challenged that called Hart Motel of Atlanta versus somebody, but whatever that case was, a motel in Atlanta, Georgia, tried to refuse to follow the Civil Rights Act, and the court upheld the act over them as being an enforcement of the 14th Amendment. So that is the most major
step. Doesn't that also kind of lay the groundwork for the ADA and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. It's a major step for that.
Someone tell me when it really is.
We're almost finished with the laws here.
5 minutes until six.
Let me at least finish these two laws, and that'll because I'm afraid these could be on the test. Second, it required that literacy tests for voting be administered in writing and defined as literate anyone who'd finished the sixth grade. Now, that's going to change because when we get the Voting Rights Act, all literacy tests are going to be outlawed a year later. But okay. In 64, it said they've got to be in writing and the sixth grade education is defined as literacy.
So now if we
no one. Okay.
So can you say what the Voting Rights Act is again?
I haven't yet. I'm still doing civil
rights. What is this sixth grade thing?
The second provision of the Civil Rights Act of 64 said literacy tests have to be done in writing, and anyone who's passed sixth grade is defined as literate. But a year later in the Voting Rights Act, that part will be dropped and changed when it says all literacy tests are just illegal. And the court will uphold that as in the spirit of the 15th Amendment. Then it also talked about giving federal assistance. It said the Attorney General could now bring suits for school desegregation, relieving individual parents from having to do it. So instead of in each case the victim having to start the suit, the federal government could do so. And lastly, something that still exists today, it created the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, who was famous for being head during the Reagan years of during the Bush years of the EEOC. It was Reagan years. The guy who replaced Thurgood Marshall. When Thurgood Marshall left the court, an African-American replaced him, who was
Clarence
Thomas, and he served as head of the EEOC in the Reagan years.
And what does that stand for?
Equal Employment Opportunity
Commission. Oh, the EEOC, they just sued the Salvation Army of their English-only policy.
Hmm. Okay, now, the Voting Rights Act of 65, let's look at what it said. It authorized the Attorney General to dispatch federal examiners to register voters where there was a historic tradition of discrimination. So where voter registration was clearly hampered in the past by local history, that federal examiners could come down and make sure that fair and honest registering was taking
place.
This
was still the Civil Rights Act?
This is Voting Rights Act now. It also dispatched federal officers to watch the voting to make sure that people would not be refused the chance to vote on the basis of race. It suspended literacy tests. It says by the end of the year, 250,000 African Americans were newly registered voters. So these are momentous legal changes. I'd say the most important part is that ban on private discrimination in restaurants and hotels. That clearly ends all Jim Crow laws. And then the wiping out of literacy tests in the Voting Rights Act of 65.
What was the Civil Rights Act said? Did the literacy test sixth grade thing, and then it created
Equal Opportunity Commission, Equal Employment EEOC.
And then what was the other? They did one more thing.
Go ahead. You're in a hurry now.
Literacy tests? Are they?
Like you really actually take a test to show whether you know what's going on in government can vote. Like,
right, but is it really a bad thing to see if people are educated? Or I mean, I don't. Yeah.
don't suck her into this.
I'm trying to.
Don't suck her into this.
I just disagree with what you said.
Me or him?
Well,
I haven't said it yet.
You've said two views on that, to me in particular.
I'm just telling a story.
No, you said, what was the third thing that's still right?